Praise and thanks be to the Lord for his faithfulness and for his grace. I will relieve Brother Frank a little. I will read another short word, then he won't have to speak so long and won't have to exert himself so much. Let us maybe read a word from 2 Kings, a very well-known word, right from the first chapter. We have read it many times, this word. But you know, we heard it yesterday. God's word is new every day. Every day. 2 Kings 1 from verse 9. Of course, it is a very well-known word. But it's so precious. And I think there's something in here for us as well that maybe God wants to say to us, that maybe we haven't paid much attention to yet. Sometimes we read over it so quickly and we don't even notice. But sometimes when we read, suddenly a light comes on. And even if it's only about one verse, then we can see the light and it becomes so great for us. And we are given thoughts from God that we might not have seen before. And then we can only thank God and rejoice in his presence. Perhaps I would like to read from verse 9 to 15. Then the king sent unto him a captain and his 50 soldiers. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill, and he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king has said, come down. Brothers and sisters, let us notice something very special. The king commands you to come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain and his 50 soldiers. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus has the king said, Come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent a third captain with his 50 soldiers. And the third captain went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him. Be not afraid of him. Up to here, this wonderful and holy word of God. To me personally, I've read these words so many times, but to me personally, some thoughts became great to me. I will be brief. I will highlight them. I might want to clarify. A man of God is a man of God. And he remains a man of God. And over a man of God, no one has a right to to rule and to tell him what to do, nor to give him orders. No one, not even a king, and no one among the people, not even a captain, no one. We see from this incident, which is a fact, let us see that God has protected his servant and prophet and proved that the man of God perhaps stood over the king and had the right to rule over him, not the king over him, but the prophet over the king. That's it. We see what happened earlier. The king lay sick. He probably fell down and sent and wished to inquire of the idol whether he would recover from this sickness. And God did not permit it and sent his prophet ahead to stand in the way of this messenger and to speak with them and to tell them that there is a God in Israel to be inquired of. Perhaps it was not good enough for the king to inquire from this simple man Elijah, through whom God spoke. Maybe he wasn't likable enough for him. But God takes whom he wants, and God speaks through whom he will. And God chose Elijah and appointed him for those days. And one had to come to him if one wanted to inquire from God. And then he talked to God. And we see all these human commands, even the king's commands. They didn't bring anything. They only brought death. The death of 50 and the captain, and again 50 and the captain. But, brothers and sisters, we see another who came with a different attitude towards a man of God. He came with a deeply bowed heart. Oh, how his heart must have trembled. How must his knees have trembled. How must he have come in fear and trembling. For he has heard what Almighty God has done. And it must have heard the whole land. And also the king himself. But he has not stopped. But brothers and sisters, we see this man of God, he was not subject to anyone. No, he did not listen to a human voice telling him what to do. But he listened to the living God. That is the thing. Nor did he go on his own. If perhaps he was such a man of God, as perhaps in some today the spirit is, who think they have to go and do something because it is in their hearts. You know, it was not in the heart of Elijah. No, that was not important to him. Nor did he go according to what came to his mind. But he only went at the command of the Lord. The first time and also the second time. You know, if the angel of the Lord had not spoken, do you think he would have gone? Not one step. Oh, a man of God, a prophet, is a servant of God. And he listens only to him whom he is subject to, and to him who has put him in service. That's who he listens to. And so we see, that became so very great to me. You know, brothers and sisters, he didn't listen to anybody else, nor looked or built on his own thoughts, nor on his own feelings. But he listened to what God had to say to him. For he alone had been his principal. That's the thing. This is what came to my mind, brothers and sisters. Already in the earthly, let me say perhaps an example. One has, if it is a larger landowner, he has people who work for him, who serve him. In former times one said servants. And a servant, he has no right to make decisions. He only has to do what his master tells him to do. He is only allowed to do that. Not, brothers and sisters, if perhaps the neighbor comes, who is also a master or a lord over many goods or land, or who knows, another great man. He has no right of authority over this servant. No, but only the one who has taken him into service, he has the right to determine. What do you think if someone else came and said to the servant, listen, now you go and plow up the field there and there where the wheat is and do this and that. And the servant, he would listen to the other. What would come of that? You know what? His master would dismiss him. He would say, you are no longer my servant, because you have not submitted to my orders, but have listened to the orders of another. You know, he would put him away. He would put him out. And you know, it is the same in the spiritual. A man of God, who is in the service of God, he does not go of his own accord, but he goes only at the command of his Lord, who has taken him into his service. That's what he does. Only that is what he does. It doesn't matter what his master tells him. He goes and does it. He does nothing else. No, he cannot do it. But he knows who has taken him into service. And you know, sometimes it looks foolish what his Lord says, but he goes and he does it because he knows who has spoken to him. You know, one day something happened to me. Excuse me if I make this comment. Just briefly, I still work, I am employed. I have to do what my superior tells me. We all have to do that. The Bible even says that we have to be subject to our superiors. And I had to do a certain job. I had to move something. I had to go and put something away. And it was a workshop. I had to change my clothes. And when my foreman gave me the order to move these things away, then came another foreman, and he said he had only to say, and he wanted to refuse me, that I shouldn't do that, that I shouldn't put these things away, and this and that. And I had to tell him, dear foreman, listen to me, you have nothing to say to me at all, because my foreman has ordered me to do this and that. And I will not listen to what you are telling me here now, but I will continue to do my work according to the regulations. And you know, he had been so upset, he immediately ran to the boss, to a higher authority, and he immediately came and said, stop, no further work will be done here. I said, excuse me, boss, my foreman has given me the order to carry this out, and I'm carrying it out. Please get in touch with my foreman. And I went on with my work. They both walked away upset. You know, orders are orders. That's the thing. And you know, when the whole thing was over and they ran to the foreman, then my foreman came and said, stop. Stop. And then I stopped. Brothers and sisters, And then this foreman came and says, "You know what? You have done correctly. I wouldn't have done it any other way." I say, "You see, that's how it is. I wanted to ask you first, would you have done it differently if you had been given this order?" "No," he says, "I would have done it just the same." Brothers and sisters, that's the thing. We must listen to the one by whom we are taken into service. Dear brothers and sisters, if we have been taken into service by Christ, then we have to listen to His voice. What He says to us, they will listen to no other voice, said the Lord Jesus. They will listen to My voice. My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me, and they know that no one else has authority over them. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the same thing. All the prophets of God, all the men of God, have looked to Him and have only carried out what they were instructed to do by God. One more thing I want to say. You know, the Lord Jesus Himself came and said, "I must do what I have been commanded to do by My Father." Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, that's the thing. This became so great to me. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, "Go down with him. Be not afraid of him." Now it was done. And now he could go. And you know, he couldn't say anything to that king except what God said. What God said. He didn't embellish the words like we heard last night. He didn't twist them. He didn't say it in this or that way that you didn't know what it was about. But he said plainly what God had to say. And I would like to say, God speaks clearly and plainly. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord." Not I, not this one or that one, but the Lord. "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron, as if there was no God in Israel, to inquire of his word. Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." That is what God said. Brothers and sisters, and what God says, that is said. No man can bend that back. No one can embellish it. No person can turn it away. But what God says remains said. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You know, we can't joke with God and God's word. We can't play with it. No, it is sacred. And we have to be serious about it. And believe it with fear and trembling. Because we know our God is also a consuming fire. Yes, that's a fact. Brothers and sisters, may the faithful God have blessed us all through these brief words. I don't know about you, but I was so blessed by those words. And I had to say, we too, as children of God, we must not lend our ears to another and listen to what men want to instill in us. But we must have our ears fixed on what our Lord has to say to us. That's the thing. And that is what we have to align to. I want to say, brothers and sisters, not only that we hear the word year in, year out, and that we may then be moved hither and thither, and then yet have this and that instilled in us, and sway back and forth, and then not know how to stand. But I think, if we have found grace and if he has placed us on the feet of faith, then we will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we will stand on the promises of the living God. For he has not been silent, even in our day. He has spoken and made known and revealed himself and is still at work. Brothers and sisters, we cannot look at the circumstances. We heard it last night. No, a David did not look at them. He could have said, I am the anointed king. What rises up against me now, here and there? How must I walk in such dim ways? We read it from the psalm today. The mouth of lies has opened against me, slandering this and that. Everything arose against the man of God. But he looked to the one who was his strength. And he knew that with God he would have victory. And we heard it last night. The end. We saw it. What the end brought. Brothers and sisters, people may see a different end, but God has another one too. Praise and thanks be to our Lord. Now we will continue to hear what God has to say to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have heard a precious word of God, and it's so good when you can delve into what's being said, that you don't just sit here and let other thoughts go through your head, but let God's word go through your heart, and that the thoughts that God expresses in his word fill us, that they communicate and make known to us the instruction and what we need. Men of God, we have heard it. We are not under earthly command, not under the command of a king or a captain. They were under the command of God, under the command of him who had called them, who had commissioned them, who had told them what to do. And this they did, regardless of anything that happened on the right or on the left. They knew who spoke to them, and they knew whose order they had to carry out. In this word, something becomes very great to me. The Lord objected and said, because you sinned and inquired at Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron, therefore shalt thou not rise up from thy bed, for thou hast brought shame upon Israel, and you have made it known that the answer is not to be found in Israel, but somewhere else. And God had chosen Israel. He had revealed himself to them and led and guided them. Directly after this event, the way was taken, and Elijah then went with Elisha via Gilgal and Bethel, and he came then to the river Jordan and was then taken up to heaven. That was the last event, the carrying out of the last commission that Elijah had to do on this earth. And the last commission was just like the first one. He was under higher command and did what God had told him to do. Then later on, Elisha started his ministry. And you can do whatever you want with the remark I'm about to make. You can cause the greatest calamity, but perhaps it will become a blessing for you. It is true that I saw when Brother Branham was received into glory. It happened on December the 24th, 1965, just after midnight. Between midnight and 1 o'clock, I saw him. I say this before God, who will judge the living and the dead, before whom I will stand on that day like all others. Him I saw on the cloud, leaning forward, not knowing what had happened, not knowing that he was called home. I saw him and I said, Brother Branham, you are not the Son of Man. What are you doing on that cloud? For me, it was an experience I will never forget. I didn't make much use of it. Because you know, people can do something very quickly out of a thing and then say, huh, now I guess he succeeds him. Now he wants to succeed him. We don't believe in any succession that one says Peter and his successor. But if God has given a calling and a commission prior, then things look quite different again. Then you don't follow a prophet, but Jesus Christ, and you continue what God has started until it is completed. That is a very big difference. I know brothers have taken me to task over the years and said, why don't you plant a church? The Lord of heaven and earth, whose voice I heard, as you now hear my voice, on the 2nd of April, 1962, he said in that calling that I should go from city to city, but not establish any local churches. That too is the absolute truth and will stand its ground before God in the day of judgment. I cannot just do it because others are doing it, and I cannot let criticism influence me otherwise, but must go the way of the Lord. And we notice very clearly, if we had founded churches, we would have become just another organization. Exactly after the pattern of all the other organizations, and would have missed the whole point of the calling out of the bride church. Our God overlooks the whole of time. We see only the moment. We see with human eyes. We hear with human ears and are influenced by them. Moses had to do what God told him to do. Elijah had to do what God told him to do. Brother Branham had to do what God told him to do. And I, as the least of all whom the Lord has called, I have to do what He, the Lord, told me to do. Of Moses, we read a wonderful word, Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. And look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed to thee in the mount. Take heed that thou make all things exactly according to the pattern which shall be shown thee upon the mount. Moses and Elijah are two of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. They then came to the Mount of Transfiguration and spoke with our Lord. And according to Revelation 11, they still have a ministry to be done in Israel. And we just see in these two prophets, what did Elijah say in 1 Kings 18? That ye may know that I have done all these things according to the commandment of the Lord. Not own reasoning, not own willing, not as we heard last night, that the one who was not sent at all, he suddenly said to Joab, let me also run. And he ran. But actually, he had neither a message, and he was told, why will you run? You will get no reward. Even you think you have to run as a messenger. Who will get the reward? Those whom the Lord has sent. And some are here this morning. You know, when New Year's Eve 65 came and the seven divine revelations came in our midst, among other things, that the Lord put the sword, excuse me, I'm sorry to say it, into my hand. You can imagine, in my heart, I resisted and said silently to myself, Lord, I cannot accept this, for I know the sword is in the hand of the prophet Brother Branham. I did not want to accept it. When I heard later that he had indeed gone home, I knew that the decision of God had been made in the midst of his people, and that none of all those present there would have any excuse. For it was direct words from God that went out to us. And I have not let this wind or that wind drive me to the left or to the right over the course of these years. With the help of God, I have had to take my stand on the revealed word. And I have taken it. For I know that besides Brother Branham, there will not be another who can say, to me God has revealed this, and to me God has revealed that. There is only a continuation, a distribution of the food, no new revelation left and no new revelation right. And no prophetic enthusiasm here or there, but prophetic revelation of the Word of God for the people of the Lord in this time. You all know the stand that the men of God had. It was not easy. There were counselors, left and right. But he of whom it is written that he is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, when he has called a man, he has become our counselor. And then we can't help but trust him, follow him, serve him. And if it were to happen to me or others, like a Jonah, and we had to go down to the deepest depths, even to the feet of the mountains, to the beginning of all things, it doesn't matter. The hand of the Lord will find and guide us there too, and he will preserve and have a way that he may prove his faithfulness and make known his power and lead us in the way which he has appointed for us. We see, as already noted, that afterwards Elisha and Elijah went together. And the condition was, if God allows you to see how I am taken up, then the wish you expressed shall be granted to you. You know, sometimes we don't need to express a wish at all. God, in his wise foreknowledge, has already made the whole plan. It's finished and lies ready before us, as the song goes. When Brother Branham said to me at that time, "Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food that goes with it." I did not understand it directly, but also did not dare to ask what it meant. But when then the 19th of January 1966 came, and I saw this big building and heard the voice, "Turn to the people and speak," and it went through my marrow and bone. Details have been heard by some, and I turned to that great crowd, and at the command I was given, I spoke and passed on the word as I was instructed to do. I am convinced, and I would like to express this on this day, as surely as it is written in the last chapter of Revelation, that no one may add anything to the words of the prophecy of this book. So I dare to say, no one may add the slightest thing to the revelation of the word at this time. And no man has the right to interpret. What have we heard in so mighty a sermon? God is his own interpreter. You know, when men interpret sayings of God, they can create an enthusiasm. And when that enthusiasm is over, they will find that the fulfillment has failed. But then, when God's time and hour has come, then it is not just an enthusiasm, then it is fulfillment of the scripture. Then God's word is fulfilled in your life and in mine. I read this precious word from Ecclesiastes 9 last Sunday in Zurich. Let me touch on it briefly, and then we will go a little further. Ecclesiastes 9 from verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. What is God trying to tell us by this? Not your running and my running, not your ability and my ability, not your skills and my skills. But here it is said, they are all dependent on time and circumstances. But now we know Him who is Lord over time and eternity. We know Him who can cope with all the circumstances. We would perish in our circumstances and look to them. But when we look to the Lord, and when His time and His hour have come, then He will turn our fortunes around. Circumstances will no longer stand in our way, and we will go forward with our God. And that in perfect faith, having proved ourselves in the trial. It's about proving ourselves in the trial. So, let's keep in mind, not the fastest will win, not the strongest, not he who is somehow wise or has understanding, but they all depend on time and circumstances. That is a wonderful word. Sometimes God puts things in place at a certain time through certain circumstances, and we can't see how things could go on because we focus on the circumstances and not on the one who can change any circumstance at any time. And then I wanted to read a little bit further to show you when this word that we heard in the introduction from Psalm 109, when it was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no one will have thought of Jesus and Judas. But this psalm is the only psalm which in its entirety, by the Spirit of God, from the mouth of David, makes the position of Jesus and the position of Judas quite clear. It says here in verse 8, let his days be few, and let another take his office. Read to this, Acts 1, and you will see that Peter, before the Holy Spirit fell, was nevertheless led by the Holy Spirit, and here pronounced Acts 1 from verse 20, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Just as it was said there in the psalm, so Peter saw it by the same Holy Spirit and put it here scripturally. These are men of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament who can place Bible prophecy scripturally. And I'm convinced Peter had no problem with it. On the contrary, the same Spirit that was upon David has been upon the apostles, upon all the men of God. We don't need to make a move from left to right or from right to left. What we need is the clear guidance of the Holy Spirit, and He will reveal everything to us. Coming back to last night and the mind of David, perhaps for those who were not here, let us briefly say what we looked at yesterday. I don't really remember myself. Who remembers? 2 Samuel 18. All right. Then I don't need to come back to it. 2 Samuel 18. And then you could read the story in it for yourselves. The mind of David, that was the mind of Jesus, has become so great to me. And I can't help but emphasize it again here. And this morning, I looked briefly into Brother Branham's sermon, Souls in Prison, and I marked only few passages. Here, in 2 Samuel 18, there we read in verse 31, "And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, 'Tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord has avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee.'" And we know, we also read from chapter 19, the first verse, "And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, 'O my son Absalom, my son.'" You know the scripture. "He wept bitterly, though great harm was done to him. And yet the mind of Jesus was in his heart. He did not say with a single word, 'Now I will have rest.' That served him right. It was high time. No, he says, 'Oh, that I could have died in his place.'" Here, the innocent wanted to die for the guilty. That is the mind of Jesus Christ. Did not our Lord, as the innocent, die for all the guilty? In that sermon, It says here on page 6, when he said that we are dead, the scripture tells us clearly that we have died and our life is hid in God through Christ, sealed up by the Holy Spirit. You know, we are not taken up into glory because we have accepted the interpretation of any man, but because we have accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord, the King of Kings, who came from heaven to this earth to redeem us and take us up again, and that we may have the assurance of being taken up, God gives us the answer. And I have said it often enough, when the Lord calls a man and the man answers him and says, Lord, I come to you and I want to follow you, then that man will walk the path of obedience and the path of faith, and he in turn will make the covenant of a good conscience with God through baptism, and will be obedient and take that step of faith. That is when a person hears the voice of God, the voice of His Word, and when he gives God the answer, not only with his lips, but with his deed, by rendering obedience and being baptized. But when God gives these people the answer, it is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Man gives God the answer and says, yes, I come. I am ready to go the way with you. I am ready to go to my death, to live with you. And man becomes obedient. His inner rebellion is taken out. He can say yes to God and His Word, for the Word now takes shape in him and he is baptized. That is your response after God has called you. But when God's answer is given to you and to me, then what John preached comes true. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended. Jesus said prior, so it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And when this righteousness was fulfilled on earth, God had to answer from heaven. And Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. What was done to him, the Son of God, shall be done to all the sons and daughters of God. That is why the Bible speaks And also here, Brother Branham, if we have died with Christ, then our life is hidden with Christ in God, sealed in by the Holy Spirit. The next quote, when man was created, he was first a spirit man in the image of God, for God is spirit. He is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thy word is truth. We worship him in spirit and in truth. People to whom through the Spirit of God, the Word of God is revealed as living, fresh truth. They can worship God in spirit and in truth. And I say it again, as Peter did at that time. He said, do not be annoyed that I write the same things to you again and again. But I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. For years, God has made this very great to me. Both begin in the Garden of Eden, the Word of God, and also the interpretation of the Word. In the Word of God was eternal life, fellowship with God. Everything that man could possibly desire in the interpretation was an admixture of the enemy, and it was death, enmity, sickness, sin, corruption. It was all in the interpretation. So it is to this day. In the original Word of God, there is life, there is spirit. In the Word is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the Word is revelation of God's plan of salvation. Who of us could dare to approach certain statements? Let us wait until they are fulfilled, and then all interpretation will be superfluous. I read on page 8. Behold, therefore, he made you partakers and took the earthly man and this eternal spirit and joined them together. For God was reflected when he became man in Jesus Christ. And he was God. God was in Christ, dwelt in him, and reconciled the world to himself. Through this perfect man, every one of us imperfect ones who believes in God and accepts that has come to perfection in him. A perfect redemption has been brought about through a perfect Redeemer. On the cross of Calvary, and every man who accepts this perfect redemption feels it, that he gets the connection with God. He feels it and he knows it, for his spirit bears witness to our spirit. It goes on. The first nature has passed away. Now we have his nature. He dwells in us, and we do not do our will, but his will. We talked last night about the nature of Jesus in David. He stepped into the breach. He forgave. He loved. This was not David, who was such a war hero, who hit Goliath with one stone that knocked him down and then cut off his head with a sword. No, that was Christ in David. Here we are told, the first nature, that is, your old nature and mine, has passed away. Now we have his nature, for he dwells in us, and we do not our will, but his. Did we not hear this in the words of our beloved brother Rus? Then the captain came with the king's command behind him, and he says, "Man of God, come here." And he might have thought by himself, "You are not the one who gives me orders. I am under higher orders. My orders do not come from the king through your mediation. My orders come from the King of Kings. They come from above, and we are born of God. And if we discern the body of the Lord in this time, then we will recognize the ministries that God has given for edification and be grateful to him for them. The old nature has passed away. We no longer do our will, but his will. We no longer think our thoughts. After all, it is the mind that thinks. The mind that was in Christ Jesus is in every believer. Not will be first, but is in every believer. Through the new birth, something happens in your heart and in mine, and even your body and mine may not yet be renewed, but your soul and mine has been renewed. We have experienced God and know that a transformation has taken place. It is indeed the mind that thinks, the mind that was in Jesus Christ is in every believer. Then comes the question, are you and I believers? We say yes, and I don't want to put a question mark behind it. Unbelief is great enough already. It does not still need to be carried from the platform into the people. But it is worthwhile to examine oneself. If we look at David, we can look at him from two sides anyway. But why did God say, "He is a man after my own heart"? God saw the heart. Nor does he say, "My son and daughter, give me this or that," but "give me your heart." And if God has the heart, then He has us whole. And then our bodies will become a temple of the Holy Spirit. It goes on here. If we think about it. Oh, wait a minute. Something. That's where the soul is. And that's what we are talking about. That's what I'm thinking about now. That's the soul inside of us. We used to divide it up like this. Spirit, soul, body. Or body, soul, spirit. And Brother Branham goes to the end of all things, to the core, and he says, a person can be spirit baptized in his spirit and lost in his soul. It is about the soul of man. We have been redeemed in our souls. And if we read this sermon and other sermons carefully, we realize what it is about. The deepest inner being. For God did not say at the creation, and so man became a living body or a living spirit. God said, and so man was a living soul. It is about the soul. The spirit is breathed out. And you know, that happens at the second death. At the first death, the soul and the spirit leaves the body. But the second death is the final death, where spirit and soul are separated. And then the end has come. Here we read on. When we think about it, many things often happen, and we wonder why they happen. We ask ourselves, and we ask others. But if we are Christians, after a while, we finally realize that everything has been for our good. We ask ourselves, I have asked myself 1,000 times, and perhaps others dozens of times. But when we ask each other, or ourselves, if we ask others, others give us the answer. If we ask ourselves, we give ourselves the answer. If we ask God, He gives us the answer. And He says, all things work together for good to them that love God. And I know one thing, that I love Him with all my heart. With all my heart. And with all my soul. Without Him, my life would be futile, worthless. I wouldn't wish to live one day without Him. He has done me so much good, fulfilled the dearest wish of my heart, not once, but many times. Even this morning, in this very room, I say this before God. Has something happened for which I did not pray last night, but only a thought touched me? And I said, Lord, let it happen tomorrow morning as a sign that it was You who gave me the word. I don't want to say anything else, but this morning I see that fulfilled before my eyes. What I saw last night in the chill, when I didn't know if I was going to go back to hospital. and had to change my pajamas twice, and my earthly strength left me. I didn't know what else was going to happen. And at that moment I said, Lord, if it is you who gave me the word, let tomorrow morning in the meeting, and you can guess the rest. I'm reading on here. You have already experienced it. All Christians have experienced it. We wonder why we did it. When I began to read the Bible, I sometimes wondered, why did God allow this great man Abraham say that Sarah was not his wife? How could it be that he let him stand there and speak a lie and do the things that he did? And then he gets into many things here. What was it? God let all men know that they are only human. And what did Elijah say when he went there, when he laid down and said, Lord, take my life. I am no better than my fellow people. What have the prophets said when they came into the presence of God? Not one was able to lift up his eyes. The only one who did was Saul on the road to Damascus. And not only did he have to put his eyes down, he himself was put all the way down and lay in the dust and saw nothing. He could only ask, who are you, Lord? And the answer came, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Brothers and sisters, we live in serious times. Many times we have said it, and if the Lord still tarries, we will say it many times more. But this precious time is coming to an end. And if you read on in this sermon, when Brother Branham was 14 years old, he got these terrible shots in his legs from his friend, and he was operated on. Then both legs were to be amputated, and he couldn't take it anymore. And then 7 months later, he was operated again. You can read all about it here. Souls in prison. But at that time, he was taken down into the lowest parts of the earth. And he saw the place of the lost. And he saw how first there were cloud formations. All of you who know my conversion story, you know that I said that many years ago, not just because Brother Branham says it, but I was hanging over hell. I have seen hell, and with my last strength, I clung to a pedestal that was looking like a threshold. Who knows the old houses that still had a threshold? Some of you might know them. Such a wood, such a threshold, and I was hanging over the abyss, looking like the clouds got a little darker, very little light. You couldn't call it light at all, but different shades. And I knew any moment you will go down. My physical strength was leaving me more and more. The last of my strength was about to leave me, and I knew that any moment I would be hurtling down there. I say this so easily here today, but you can imagine How drenched in sweat I was when I had this experience. I was in church, in the Baptist church, and I thought I was saved because I was in a church. And then God had to show me, you are lost. You are going down. I will never forget that day in my whole life. But I still wanted to say this. At that time, when I was 14 years old, Brother Branham saw down there at the lost, the women with their eyes painted green and all this around here. And exactly 40 years later, he's sitting in the department store in Louisville, Kentucky, waiting for his wife to finish shopping. And he's sitting near the escalator, and he sees the women in the same get-up as he saw them down there. And he says, I felt sick. His wife came and spoke to him. He said, leave me alone. I feel sick. I feel miserable. Leave me alone a little longer. 40 years later, he saw the thing he saw then as a boy. Once, very recently, I just didn't have the courage, because I didn't want to be suspected, to take a picture on the plane from Zurich to Düsseldorf. But a woman came in with an escort, and I wanted to make a picture with my camera. And I thought, should you approach her and apologize and take a photo? I would have liked to show it to everyone. A person has never seen anything like that. You had to look away. You didn't know if it was an owl or what it might be. You really didn't know. I looked once and I thought, has she eyelashes over her eyes? What's the point of that anyway? And I would have so loved to have taken a picture because Brother Brim saw it and spoke about it. I certainly wasn't interested in that whore. But I thought, before I arouse suspicion, I'd rather leave it at that. 40 years later, now again, so many years later, one day, the time will come. And some may say, where is the promise of his coming? When do all these things happen? They happen in our midst. They are happening around us. They are happening in Israel, in the whole world. They are happening everywhere. The coming of the Lord is near. We have heard a message of joy, a message of victory, and may the word revealed by the Spirit become spirit and life in your heart and in mine. May God grant it to us by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise and pray. We thank you for this morning hour. We thank you for the richly set table, Lord. We thank you for letting us take from you food of life. Lord, we give you alone the glory and praise and extol your grace that you have shown to us until this hour and until this moment. Faithful God, we pray thee, continue to abide with us. Let us take these words to heart. Let us ponder on them in our hearts, as Mary did, O Lord. For we have heard your word, and we believe your word. Lord, abide with us. Also this afternoon is my prayer. Bless my brothers, my sisters. Bless us, O Lord, who have come to the glory of your name. Hallelujah. to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.